Hey guys, welcome to the I Hope They Hear This podcast. Today I have with me returning guest Cindy Park, or I guess it's Cindy Jun now. She is in Korea and she recently had her baby Lion. And after hearing some of the other birth stories on this podcast, she wanted to come and share how vastly different it is in Korea. And yeah, it was really eye-opening for me. And just the differences that some of the systems in Korea offer. And so, yeah, I thank you guys for tuning in and I hope you enjoy. I want you to start wherever you want to start. Actually, can we kind of like start from like all the way back to like the like back to when you said, oh, I want to start trying to have a kid.
Okay.
Like all the way, like the beginning of the journey.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
So we first got married and we were living in Canada and we wanted to enjoy, like,
yes. Sorry, one second. Uh-huh. Hello to the listeners. No, this is Cindy Park. I'm sorry. I've been like just kind of like jumping into it and forgetting to introduce people, but we have Cindy Park back on the podcast. She was on a while ago in person when it was last time we talked. You had just moved out of Canada and you were transitioning to Korea, which is where you are right now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's we're getting to do this through Zoom, obviously because of the distance. And yeah, it's so great to have you on. And just so the listeners can have context, we recently had Selena on the podcast where we talked about her birth story. And Cindy has a very unique birth story in the sense that it didn't happen in America. It happened in a completely different country. And for people who don't know about Korea, there's a lot of different, a lot of just differences in the whole process. So We're excited to hear you kind of walk us through what that looked like for you, Cindy.
Yes. So in the last video, we talked about my non-toxic living.
Right.
And how we got into that was because we were trying to get pregnant and it wasn't happening. And I was like, what sex ed said? If you have sex, you gotta get pregnant, you know? Right. So we had been trying for a year and we were trying to get see a doctor in Canada, but it was COVID and universal healthcare lines, waiting, all that. It was just, it wasn't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I was just getting more anxious and just stressed and just all kind of emotions. So when, you know, one night I couldn't sleep and I started Googling and non-toxic stuff, I got into it and totally just completely changed our lives around with the products we use, what we eat, what we put on our bodies, etc. So that's kind of where it started. And then we moved to Korea, not to get pregnant or not to do anything, but because we wanted to be close to my husband's family. And we came, and Korea is so fast, you know, that Bali Bali culture. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So we came here in August. This is during lockdown. So we came and we had to do 2 weeks of quarantine. Like we couldn't go anywhere. Da, da, da. And as soon as after that was done, I pretty much went and my mother-in-law found a hospital somewhat near us. We live on an island. Mm. Island, quote unquote, it's really small, but it's an island. So in mainland, it's Incheon.
Right.
But,
wait, Incheon's, yeah. Is Incheon an island?
No, but the part that I live in, which is where the airport is.
Gotcha.
The main part of Korea. And so my mother-in-law found a hospital and I didn't think anything about it, I didn't research anything. And I just trusted her. I was like, yeah, sure, I'll go. And they had one doctor for infertility. And he had just gotten there from Cha Hospital, which is really famous for infertility. Like they're the pioneers of IVF in Korea, basically.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he used to be there. He was like a doctor there. And then he got scouted by this hospital and came here. So it was perfect timing. He literally started in October and I started in October.
Wow.
One of his first patients at that point. So I didn't think anything of it. I knew Cha Hospital was big. So I figured everything was fine. Everything was fine. But so we got there, we started doing all these tests And Chris and I are both healthy, except for I've always had really bad periods and like really bad cramping, but I just didn't think anything of it. But it ended up being endometriosis. It's like a disease that women have. I don't even know if it's a disease, but it's like it causes really bad periods, long cramping, and then it can also lead to blocked fallopian tubes. That's what was wrong with me. Wrong, but that was the thing. So he basically said your fallopian tubes are blocked, and we could do surgery to remove it, but the high, even if we do that, the chances of you getting pregnant, there is a possibility, but it's probably going to be an ectopic pregnancy, which means that you're going to get pregnant in the fallopian tubes, because it's so, like, even after we get the, it has to be clear like a straw, right? The fallopian egg can just come down and meet the sperm, but mine's so rigid, right? So it's gonna get, it's like a maze. So it's gonna get stuck and not come down to where it needs to come down. And then the sperm might make its way up and fertilize there. So he said we don't need to even do IUI, which means like artificial insemination of the sperm. He's like, it's not even gonna work. We're just gonna have to do IVF. And I was like, what? Like, this all happened within like a month. They were like, oh, just come in as soon as you start your period. And then it's like boom, 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 testing. All right, next month we're starting your period, IVF. And I was like, wow. So I first met him in October, I think, or maybe it was November. But then, and then the next cycle, I started IVF.
Oh,
So I
wow.
got there in August, this by December. And the crazy thing is, in my IVF transfer was December 31st. So now, and I got pregnant like immediately. So yeah.
Are there obviously because of like healthcare differences between the US and Korea, was it financially, was it just an easier decision to make? Because I know in the US it's a
Yes.
heavy financial burden, right?
And because infertility is so high in Korea and people aren't having kids, the government, if you are a Korean citizen, or one person is a Korean citizen, so Chris is a Korean citizen, we were able to get a grant.
Wow, awesome.
Yeah, so like it depends on your age and how many rounds you've done and stuff like that, but like we got 100,000 won, which is like $1,000 to go towards IVF. So out of pocket, well, my case, so because infertility and IVF is so like widely used for so many people in Korea, it's more affordable. And these fertility clinics, they're like baby making factories. Like it's like boom, 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 boom. Literally, like I think my entire IVF process from the shots to the transfer, it was 21 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then afterwards, you have shots too. But like just that, like 21 days. Where in the States, it's like way longer, and like, there's different protocols. But also, I didn't do my case, I didn't do genetic testing because my clinic was too small and they didn't have the technology for that. But if you do genetic testing, it's longer. So it depends on the clinic you're in Korea too. Like this is my case.
Gotcha.
Because my friend, she did genetic testing and hers took way longer than me. Hers is more like the US schedule because she did a frozen transfer versus me, I did a fresh transfer. So mine was never frozen. So after they took the eggs out and then they fertilized it with the sperm, it was put in me in 3 days, within 3 days.
Wow.
Yeah, so mine was pretty a fast turnaround. So, but I think that's why I had such bad side effects.
Oh, well, what
Yeah.
side effects did you have?
So after I did all that, I was like, this is easy. This is so fun. Like, da-da-da-da. Boom. I literally, like, I was hospitalized so many times. I bloated because when they take the eggs out, your ovaries, they have spaces where the eggs were, and it fills up with fluid. And my body was trying to heal, and they took out like 20-something eggs. I was very fortunate that we got a lot of eggs. Each spot filled up with fluid, and then it moved to the rest, like my, down to my legs, like up my body. So I gained 20 pounds in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. And I had to get drained 6 times.
Oh, yeah. No, I do recall, like in your Instagram story, you're talking about that. So I see.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was one of the side effects. And my side effect was bad because I got pregnant, and then the hormones have also made it worse. Mm-hmm. It's called OHSS, ovarian hyper syndrome. I forget. But yeah, so they took out 16 liters of fluid. And I still had some, but we just let it naturally kind of.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked pregnant. I looked like I was 9 months pregnant when I was like a month pregnant. Because I actually gained 20 pounds my entire pregnancy.
Mm.
But I gained that 20 pounds during the first year. So like I couldn't walk, I couldn't eat, I couldn't do anything, I couldn't breathe, I couldn't sleep. It was horrible. And it was, my OHS lasted a while. Like I want to say it lasted almost 3 months. And then I also had some other complications. So I bled every day until I was 5 months pregnant.
Wow.
So lots of hospital visits, lots of ER visits, just like in high anxiety all the time. Because nobody wants to see blood when you're pregnant.
Yeah.
Sorry, this is a lot of like graphic.
No, this is great.
Yeah. So,
but are those side effects of pregnancy or are those side effects of IVF, like specifically?
Both.
Mm.
My nurse was like, this is the worst I've ever seen.
Wow.
Like you have the record for like the most amount of drainage. Because every time I go, I get like 3-4 liters of fluid coming out of my stomach.
So is it possible that someone just who got pregnant naturally would kind of go through the same issues and need to go through? Oh, okay, gotcha.
The IVF thing.
Wow.
Yeah, so mine got worse because I got pregnant.
Mm.
But yeah, it's that OHS has the IVF thing.
Gotcha. Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty tough, but it was okay. Now, you know, it's funny because I was talking to my sister about it. Like, it was so rough at that time, but I forgot about it all.
Oh, what a blessing.
Yeah, I'm like 16 meters taken out. Like, but at the time, I was like,
oh gosh.
Yeah.
And so during this whole process, like how was Chris reacting? Like was he just kind of like, because what can a husband do, right? Like
he was just like every day he'll look at me with these like sad eyes, like there's nothing I can do for you. So he like bring me breakfast in bed, or like, you know, just there's nothing. And at the time we were living with my in-law, so my mother-in-law cooked me all these meals, right? Myeokguk and like all these things, but I could not eat Korean food. Couldn't. Like
that was your aversion?
It just made me want to like, ugh. Like the smell of it, like jjamgyeom.
Oh gosh.
And it was so funny because I love Korean food and I couldn't eat anything. I was starving. All I wanted was Chick-fil-A.
Oh, wow.
I'm kind of glad I wasn't in America because I think if I was in America, I would have gained like 500 pounds for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Right.
Yeah. And so my father, there's a burger place here called Frank's Burger. It's like a chain. And they're like, we do American style burgers. And they even have like a little American flag on their little like doors. So my father-in-law's like, this is it. I found the American burger. And he like brought it to me like, oh. One bite and I was like, oh, the sauce is so sweet.
Oh,
it's just so sweet. Like I'm not kidding, my mother-in-law and father-in-law like literally went to like every single American place that they could find food, but it was so sweet.
Yeah,
they like it sweet.
So you're going through this very new experience, but like are you able to kind of understand all the things that the doctors are like explaining to you?
Oh my gosh,
how was that like?
Oh my gosh, it's so funny because there's like terms for egg and sperm in Korean, like medical terms. I don't know what they are. So I'm like, I want to ask about my eggs. I'm like, can I? I don't know what canine is. It's like a word that's used for like chicken eggs.
Right. The eggs that we eat.
Chicken eggs. And the doctor's like, like trying to keep it professional. But like, I don't know the word for sperm. I'm like, how are like my husband's babies? I use, you know, terms like that. And then like the nurses were nice. They would translate stuff for me. Cause like, it's like, you know, medical terms are in English, so.
Right.
Oh, wow. He's late for me and stuff. But there was definitely, like, so many funny, like, I was telling Chris, I was like, we need to, like, make a YouTube page just for, like, the things that we went through. Like, for example, my name is Cindy Pop, right? So, like, when they call me, they think I'm Shin, like, my last name. They're like, T-Buck me, T-Buck. I have no idea they're calling my name. I'm just like, la, 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 la. And Chris is like, I'm calling you.
Oh, yeah. Just the culture. Like, there's so many things, like culturally and language wise. Wow. But it's good that you had Chris, though, because he's obviously fluent in Korean. He knows more about the culture.
He is fluent, but he doesn't know these medical terms, right? So he doesn't even understand. I'm like, what did he say? He's like, I don't know, just not.
Oh gosh. Oh wow.
So
I mean, but just in terms of surviving and living in Korea too, was it kind of, because you pretty much got pregnant like a couple of months after you moved, right? So like, how was that navigating just everyday life in a completely new place?
I understand why people in Korea, women in Korea, don't want to have a baby. Like, I understand why. Like, they're like, oh, like, we'll do this, we'll do that, we'll do this, we'll do that. But that's just the surface stuff. Like, the core, like, a tip, like, that's just surface stuff. You got to work on the core stuff, you know? Like, but that's not there. So, like, when I was first pregnant, like, I just missed home. I know there's like people talk about America's terrible, like there's no women's health. Oh, come to Korea. And I'm very thankful for our experience of living in Canada, Korea, and America, because it really opened up our eyes of the pros and cons of each country. And it just made us learn a lot, but I'm just very thankful that we have America to go back to. I am very, 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 very thankful for that. I'm so thankful for that in all aspects, even like raising like Lion now. Man, I see my friends on Instagram and their babies are touching grass. I'm like, Lion's never even seen grass. Like, there's no grass here. By a little tree right here, but I've never seen grass. You know, like but anyways, IVF was a wild ride. We did IVF. We're very blessed that we got pregnant on the first try, and we were able to freeze a handful of them, so we'll be using them again for Lion's siblings. And after we had the baby, well, so around the baby time, so much happened during pregnancy. So this hospital is a huge hospital. There's a little IVF clinic, and then the rest is like OBGYN. And so they transferred me to the regular OB after I graduated from the infertility clinic. And once I did that, I had this doctor, and I didn't vibe with her. Chris didn't like her from the start. He had got a like the wrong buy from her, and I was like, nah, you're just overthinking it. Well, he was right. So first they around 11 to 13 weeks they do an NT scan, so they like measure the back of the baby's neck to make sure that there's no, like, if it's too thick, there's a higher chance of Down syndrome or other genetic disease. Well, they told us that he has Down syndrome. Yeah, so we're like, what? And not that we would do anything about it. Right, right. We would have, you know, still happen, but it was just a shock, you know, like, we went through all this, and then now another shock. Like, and so she, so this is the part that Chris was really mad about. And so we go to the doctor's office after we get the NT scan results. We go see her. She's like, all right, so this was looking thick, so there is a chance of him or her, they don't know the gender yet, but this baby having Down syndrome or other genetic disease. So we can do another test. It's called the NIPT test, which is by the blood. They draw your blood and they check for more genetic diseases. And here are the prices. And it's like bronze, silver, gold. And each level costs more and tests for more things. And it was like she was selling this to us, you know? Like,
oh, gosh.
And Chris was like, what the heck? And the insurance doesn't cover this. And the bronze is $600 out of pocket. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. And we spent a lot of money out of pocket because I had so many side effects and hospitalizations prior to this. So I'm just like, I think most people probably spend like $1,000 out of pocket for IVF here. We spend like three times, four times more, maybe. Wow. I don't even know. But so we do the testing, and then he's fine. So I'm like, okay.
Wow. Do you think she was like purposefully trying to get you to buy those tests? Like,
honestly, in the now looking back on it, yes. Oh. Because so that happens. It's so stressful. And I go to my 28-week appointment, and she tells me that I need a C-section.
Oh, gosh.
Korea ranks one of the highest in the world for C-section because they fear-monger the moms like crazy. And this is what my doctor told me verbatim translated. She told me that I cannot do a natural birth because I'm a first-time mom and I'm underestimating it. And she told me because I did IVF, I have to do a C-section. And I was like, how is that related? She's like, well, most moms who did IVF want a safe delivery. They want the baby to be safe, so they do a C-section. And I'm like, when did natural delivery not become safe?
Right, right.
Like, that was the last, like, line for us. So after that, we switched hospitals.
That is wild. Wow. Oh, yeah. So were you able to find a doctor who wasn't that crazy?
So there's a Facebook group called Pregnant in Korea, and it's like all the expat moms in there, and they're all pregnant in there, and they literally talk about birth stories in Korea, and it's traumatic. And what's crazy is that my mother-in-law's birth story, and then I heard Chris's friend's wife's birth story, and their baby's born in March of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same as my mother-in-law's.
Like 30 years after.
Yes. So the thing is, they don't let you move. You are a patient. You're an ill patient. Like, you're here with the pregnancy is like a disease. You're ill. So you need to be strapped down. Like, you cannot move. You need to be wired up. You need to be monitored at all times. You have to fast. But some of these kind of are the same in the States too. And you have to fast. And if you do a natural birth, they will, this is very graphic, but they will shave you without consent. They will push down on your stomach as you're pushing. And they do routine episiotomies where they cut you. And then a lot of them will do a husband stitch. It's just routine.
But what's the husband stitch?
When they sew you back up, they sew you up tighter. So when and then you have intercourse with your husband, it feels better for him, but it'll hurt for you.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Oh wow.
Yeah. So that's like a routine thing here. Like, it's very common, which is very terrifying. No wonder so many women are traumatized by their births. In this Pregnant in Korea group, they talk about all this, and I'm like, what the heck is, what the heck is birth? I don't know anything about birth. I just see it on, like, Knocked Up, and she's screaming when she's giving birth. Like, that's my vision of birth, right? Because that's what all these then I heard Shirley's podcast. She's like, oh, natural. She's like, I'm like asking her about it. I'm like, mm-hmm. So she starts sending me stuff too. So like Selena talked about like the birth hour, mommy lady, first lady, whatever. I forget. There's so many ones. And then Avery birth, all that. I'm into it. I'm like watching the classes. Da, 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 da. And then I find a birth center. So in Korea, birth centers aren't very common. And I would say only like one is truly a birth center. And it's like all the way in Gangnam. The rest of them are like hybrids. They're not straight up hippie style birth centers yet. it's called a birth center, but it's still a hospital. My birth center had like OR rooms for a C-section and stuff like that. So I found one that's semi-close to us. It's an hour away. We moved there, and if you want to do a natural birth, you have to take birth classes. Mm. Yeah. So we signed up for some extra ones too, because like, and your husband has to go with you. So your husband, and they want your husband to be the doula.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Oh.
So there's a doula class for the husbands too. So we signed up with it. So Chris is my doula.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Wow. So, and the director or the hospital person, he tells us like at the first class, he like told us the history of like OBGYNs, 산부인과s in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, when do you think they like 산부인과s came to Korea? And you know, I don't know. In the States, I think they've been around forever. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I don't know. He's like, well, they came after the Korean War in the 1950s because Sweden brought it over. They got it from Sweden.
Huh.
Nurses there, like, were volunteering. They brought that concept over. So this concept is fairly new.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, it started, like, booming up around, like, the 60s probably. So, like, when I asked my grandma, I'm like, Grandma, when did you give birth? Like, how many weeks were they? She's like, weeks. They just give birth when they come out. Like, you don't know anything. Like, well, then how do you know the gender? You don't. Just find out when they come out. There was no ultrasounds. There was nothing. She had all four kids at home. So I was like, dang, I think about it. Like, even like back in the 50s, all these women were giving natural births. Like, if they can do it, I can do it. What's different? Nothing. And then, like, you learn everything about the woman body in these birth classes and how we're able to do it. Even the tilt, the angle of our hips is different from men. And it's made that way because it's made that tilt is made to open up for when the baby comes out.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. Easy. And I'm, like, listening to these classes and I'm, like, if you don't believe in God after these classes, like, I don't know. Like, you have to believe in a higher being. Like, there's no way that bodies were so perfectly, wonderfully made to give birth, you know?
That's exactly what Shirley said, like, during her whole process. She was like, oh, my gosh. It's, like, undeniable. Like, even, like, the after the birth, like, she talked a lot about how, like, breast milk.
Yes.
Like, it's, like, so, like, it literally, like, transforms itself for the needs of the baby as they're, like, drinking it and stuff.
Like, it's crazy. That birth classes talk about breastfeeding too, and how it helps with healing of the mom, and like how it's good for the baby. Like, so many things. And I'm just like, this is crazy. This is wild. Why don't we learn this in school? like this is crazy. And like, Chris is learning so much. He's like, wow.
Sorry. One point. On the podcast with Selena, we speculated about what her grandmother's birth experience would have looked like. I actually said, I feel like it would have been very different from your mother's experience. And we're like, oh, would it have been? But kind of based on what you're saying, if OBGYNs came in the 50s, like our parents' generation, when they were born, likely that it might not have been in like a hospital.
Yeah. My mom was not. My mom was born in 64. She was born in a house.
Oh, yeah. That's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then, yeah. But my mom's birth also, she got pushed down too.
Mm.
My mom got pushed down too. So it's just crazy, I think. So But those same practices are still being practiced today. Like there's no improvement, there's no involvement, like there's nothing. It's just same. That's and during our birth class, the doctor said birth can be one of the most traumatic days of your life, or it can be one of the most beautiful days of your life. And I was like, you know, it's true. We don't know what to expect. So I'm very, very thankful for these birth classes. I took them in person and I also took online classes. So, but even if I prepared, it could have been very traumatic as well.
Sure.
Yeah. So I don't think, but I think preparing did help though. Mm-hmm. Like I knew what was coming. Mm-hmm. If I didn't know what the heck was happening and I didn't know what was coming, it would have been like so traumatic.
Yeah.
But knowing what was coming and knowing what could be coming made me feel better because I already knew about it.
So was your plan to kind of go into it wanting to do like natural birth and all of that? Or were you just kind of okay with at least getting away from like the crazy practices of your previous doctor?
Both.
Mm.
Being a first-time mom and being in a foreign country, like I didn't know what exactly to expect, you know. I wanted to do natural, that was my goal, but if there was interventions that needed to happen for the safety of me and the baby, I was totally open to it. And like this birth center is like totally opposite from what Korean doctors were saying. They're like, don't move, don't exercise. My previous doctor was like, don't exercise. And, you know, I'm very active.
Right.
Like, and I was on bed rest for about 5 months. So my muscles have completely deteriorated. Like I have no energy. Like I was literally like, Chris, like I can't do this anymore. Like I exercise without her permission. I would go exercise. I literally feel trapped in my own body. I can't do this anymore. Like I can't leave. My hair got all matted in the back, so Chris cut it. Like I was a mess. It was just fear, honestly, to tell you the truth. Just like fear controlling me. We even waited to announce because I was still bleeding and I was just so scared. Just so scared. I wish I wasn't, but, you know, being a first-time mom is the things that you see. And, like, even though I kept the prayer journal and I did Bible study every day, this fear, like, controlled me. It really did.
Sure, yeah.
But one day I just said, screw it! And I did it. I worked out. And guess what? Nothing happened. Actually, I got better. I got stronger. I got healthier. Mm. I had more energy. I was happier. Like, and then the rest of my pregnancy, it was amazing. I loved being pregnant. I loved it. I loved it so much. I was, and you know, Koreans don't work out, so at the gym everyone was staring at me like pregnant lady doing here, like doing squats.
yeah, you know, but that does speak a lot to why our parents' generation, they do have this view that if something does go wrong in the pregnancy, it's somehow the mom's fault because of this like fear that's instilled in them probably during their own pregnancies. So that is really sad to like think that like an entire generation of women were kind of led to believe cowering in fear was the right way to go, you know?
Yeah. Like so much fear mongering, much. And I fell for it. And honestly, if I wasn't Korean American and know like Shirley and like know these like other, the whole another world of birth, I would have totally just been in. And that's how Korean moms are, right? They don't have information that I was very blessed to have. So I feel bad for them. So like a lot of them, that's why a lot of them choose, a lot of them choose to have C-sections. Because they're told, oh, natural birth. Oh,
yeah.
You know? When I tell people that I had a vaginal birth, they're like, oh my gosh, how? Like, they freak out.
Wow.
It's like so, like, 대단해. Like, I'm so, like, oh, you know.
Oh, that's wild.
Like millions of women do it around the world.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm actually excited to kind of hear about the transition going from your doctor to this new place and kind of how it affected your pregnancy. But before that, we're gonna take a quick break and yeah, we'll be right back. And we're back. So yeah, Cindy, if you don't mind, you kind of meant you talked to us about what it was like at your kind of default doctor, your first doctor, and then realizing that this isn't it. So you were looking at other places. So when you did go to your birth center, like how did things change for you during your pregnancy?
Oh my God, it was like night and day. You know, they were like, first, you gotta take those birth classes. You gotta stay active. And they were like, mom's like, remember, you're not eating for two. Baby doesn't need a whole McDonald's meal. Like, you're not eating for two. So, you know, they really promoted staying active. And then there's actually this influencer, her. It's Built to Birth, and she's all about like natural birth and all that stuff. And she's different positions and exercises, like spinning babies. These are all things you can do with a yoga mat, yoga ball. They give it out, so you can do that at home. And then like Chris learned all these like pressure points, affirmation stuff, soft touches, like all these things, so he could be my doula. And because your husband is your biggest supporter in that room. Usually during birth, like the only person that you know in there is your husband, you know. So we both prepared for it because Chris is like, he's kind of scared. I can't see blood. Like we both like get scared. So I know he's very anxious about it, very nervous about it. But I think going through these classes, going through all these classes, kind of prepared him mentally also. And then once we got there, like I just felt so much more comfortable, and that I felt like I had a say in how the birth center go, in the birth, how the birth would go. And they even give you a birth plan sheet, and you check you off what you want, and they'll put it in your door. The nurses can check the day that you give birth.
Oh, wow.
And you're also given a midwife. So the birth center does cost a lot more than a regular hospital, because a regular hospital birth, I think it's $600. But here, the starting for natural birth is 1800. So
By the
here's
way, these figures you're giving me are blowing my mind because it's like so cheap. Even the stuff you're saying is expensive. I'm like, oh my
I
gosh.
know. I expect Korean terms, yeah. So, but you know, the cost of living here is also very different, and like minimum wage is much lower, and average salary is much lower. So
Yeah,
that's
right.
so anyways, so that happened, and we prepared for birth, and my whole family was on board. They knew everything. I wanted to do a natural water birth. And they had a tub, and at this birth center, we get to do a tour too. And during the tour, we went to the birth room, and it's a gigantic California king size bed. There's no hospital like bed. There's that. There is a bathroom with a toilet and a tub, a giant tub, a jacuzzi tub, and then like a little area for a fridge and table for you to eat, because they actually encourage the moms to eat throughout labor, because they make you fast because they think that you need a C-section. But nowadays, the doctor was saying that nowadays the anesthesia that they use, you don't need to fast for it, but it's just the custom that's been practiced this whole time. Yeah, so they actually encourage snacks, like that's on the list of they also give you a list to bring to the hospital to what to pack. Snacks is part of it. Yeah. So we brought a ton of snacks. Oh, we didn't get to touch it. But so that happened, and I'm like, my mind is going crazy. And then, so pregnancy after all, we changed hospitals, and I changed the perfect time where my ovaries were very still swollen from IVF, but they had kind of shrunk down a little bit, and I stopped bleeding, just thank goodness. And so now I was in my prime. I was like, pregnancy glow, all that. Yeah! Like, I was like, so happy. Love being pregnant. And then, and at this birth center, they only take healthy pregnant men. So if you have like any like high blood pressure or anything like that, if you're high risk, they don't take you. So I bring all my hospital records from my previous hospital and bring it to them. And then they review it and then accept me, quote unquote.
Right.
So that happened. And then our midwife, me, Chris, and the midwife were in a group chat, and she would send us workouts and videos to watch every week.
Oh, wow.
Together. And there's like different exercises to do or like different birth stories to watch, stuff like that. So we did all kinds of stuff. And I drank all kinds of, I wrote red raspberry leaf tea, supposedly helped with labor. I couldn't find dates in Korea, so I didn't do that, but that's supposed to help too. So now we had a great pregnancy, everything's going great. And 32 weeks, I go in for my checkup, and they said that my cervix is too short. That means baby's dropping.
Oh.
So there's no chance of having a preterm labor. So they wanted to hospitalize me. And I was like, oh no, I like PTSD from Korean hospitals. Like, oh, it was just horrible. Like, they always starve you. I'm pregnant, but they always starve you because they don't know what's going to happen. So they always starve you. They don't, like, one time I was in the ER for like 12 hours, they didn't even let me drink water.
Oh my gosh.
And so I was like, I'm not being hospitalized. Like, if I have to do bed rest, I will do bed rest, but I will not be hospitalized. So she's like, all right, well, I'm going to give you some progesterone and put the hormone to help with the cervix. And I want you to be on bed rest for a week and come back in a week. And if it's still, if it's gotten shorter, we have to hospitalize you, monitor you until the baby comes, because we want to maximize his pregnancy. And I was like, okay. So I was on bed rest again. And I was like, pray, like, God, please. And then we went back, and it didn't get any shorter. So she was like, all right, just do your thing. So I just did my thing. And you go at the end of pregnancy, you go pretty often. Mm. And then I went, and there was no signs of labor whatsoever. And I was getting close to my due date. My due date was September 19th. But everybody was like, even my doctor was like, none of my kids came on time.
Mm.
Like, especially the first one always comes later.
Yeah.
First time moms usually waiting for 24 hours. Da, 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 da. So this is all like in my head all the time. So I go to my appointment and nothing happened. And then 39 weeks and like 5 days, I have a bloody show.
Oh.
But I knew this could happen. But because I was losing my mucus plug, because I learned it during birth class, my midwife like told us. I was like, I texted my midwife, and she's like, well, if you're not having contraction and no other symptoms, you're not in labor. Because you could lose your mucus plug for like weeks. Mm. Some women do that. So I was like, oh, okay. And so I had a bloody show for about 4 days. So now I'm 39 plus 6 days. There's 7 days. Due date is tomorrow. 40 days is tomorrow. Nothing's happening. I had like mild cramps, but it wasn't like, I was having Braxton Hicks like two. So I was like, ah, it's Braxton Hicks, didn't think anything of it. It was a Sunday, and my due date is Monday. That Sunday, I'm having these like cramps, and I'm like, ah, it's nothing, whatever. So Chris and I go for a walk, and we like go see this model house, and you know, because for fun, because there's all these kind of model. Korean model houses are so fun. And we go eat lunch, and we go to the golf range, and I'm just like, maybe I should time these. Like, are these contractions? I don't know. They said you'll know, but I don't think these are it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just time it for fun. We're timing it at the golf range, and it's saying, go to the hospital. No way. Because I'm not even, like, I can talk to you. I'm laughing. Like, I'm totally fine. I'm like, no way, these are it. So we had to ignore it. I'm like swinging, I'm swimming, I'm swinging golf swings. And I'm like, nah, it's fine. Then we go to dinner with my in-laws and oh, and then it goes away. So I'm like, oh, I must have been hungry. Fine. We go for another walk and the cramps come back. And this one's a little bit stronger. I'm like, oof, I had to pause for a second. But we continue going, da-da-da-da-da. And then we get home, we text my midwife, like, I'm having these cramps. I'm not really sure what they are. And she's like, why don't you take a hot shower or hot bath and then do these exercises that I sent you for an hour on the yoga ball and then let me know where you're at. And I'm like, okay. So I do all that and I'm getting sleepy. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to bed. It's like 11 p.m. And Chris has no idea that this, like, he doesn't even know what's going to happen. Like, we don't even expect that I'm going to birth anytime soon. So, like, Chris is playing with, like, a new camera thing, and he's, like, running around the house, like, a stabilizer thing, like seeing if it works. And I'm just, like, bouncing on the yoga ball, like, and then I go to bed. And we both go to bed. And then around, like, 1:30, I wake up, and I'm like, ooh, he's kind of hurt. He's kind of hurt, like, kind of bad. Ooh. So I'm, like, having to do these breathing exercises that I learned. So Chris texts the midwife and she's like, why don't you just come in just to be sure, like just to be safe. Okay. But during birth classes, they were like, try to labor at home as long as possible, because unless, if you're only like a centimeter open, we're going to send you back home. So I was like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. So I'm like trying to wait as long as I could, but I'm like, I think we need to go in. So we get there around 2:30 and the birth center is small. So like, and it's like not a separate building. It's like a couple floors of a building. So we have to get the building to open and we have to like do all these things. And we get up there and then by the time I get up there, it's like 3. I'm settled in and she checks me and she's like, you're 5 centimeters dilated. And I'm like, oh, okay. All right. So we had a playlist and they turn off all the lights and it's very like dim lights. It's very relaxing, like very, very relaxing atmosphere. Then we made a playlist for birth, so it's all worship music and we're playing it like in low volume. So it's like, and I learned this thing where if you scream, your body will tighten, and like it's connected to your pelvic floor. If it's tight here, it's going to be tight down there. So you want to relax this. So that's why they say like low hum, like because you're opening this area up. And it's opening up your pelvic floor as well. So I'm like, and Chris is doing these like pressure points on me and they're coming like pretty fast. And I didn't feel it like in my stomach. Like I thought that it was going to be like in the stomach area, but mine was like on my pelvic area. Like I felt it like pulsate like this, opening up. That's how I can explain it. And I could feel it. And the thing about this birth center is that they kind of checked you. They monitor the, they checked my blood pressure. They checked the baby. Everything was fine. And then I was free will. Like, I was just like, whoa. And then the midwife left, nurse left. It was just me and Chris in the room. Like, I wasn't hooked on anything. Just me. And we're doing it. And then all of a sudden, I felt the urge to push. My body just started naturally just like, Like, that's what it felt like. Just everything just pressuring down. And so then that's when my husband, Chris, went to go get my midwife. And I started pushing. And she had me push in a birth stool. And it basically looks like a U-shaped chair. And I just sit on it and just only hold my legs and my butt, basically. And I put, and my legs are like in a low squat position, which is the best position to birth because your hips are open.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to birth on my back because the reason we birth on our backs, it's not because that's the best way to birth. That's because that's the best view for the doctor. Practice that's been kind of ingrained in everyone when you give birth. But you don't have to give birth that way. You can give birth on all fours. You can give birth on your side. You can do all these different methods, but we just always think about back. But anyways, so I was pushing on the birth stool for a while. Oh my gosh, I pushed for an almost an hour. Mm-hmm. I started pushing at 5. I looked at the clock. It was 5 o'clock. So I got, so this is very fast. So we got settled in at 3.
Mm-hmm.
And by 5, I'm pushing.
Mm.
Well, a little before that, I was already pushing. But like by 5, I'm like really pushing with the help of the midwife. And I'm pushing and I'm like, I'm getting exhausted. And she's like, what, do you want to go in the water? So she fills up the water and the water feels amazing. I think the water might slow you down, but it didn't slow me down. Like I was able to relax. And Chris like literally held me. I'm strong.
Mm.
And at certain points when I was pushing, I was screaming. Then midwife was like, Mom, don't scream. Like you're tightening yourself up. Mm. So I started like,
yeah.
I wanted to just like curl my body up, but the complete opposite, to open up, but I wanted to curl. So Chris is holding me back and I'm trying to curl. Chris is sweating. I'm sweating. And I get in the water and it's like humid and my hair is curling up and you know, like it's great. And at this point I'm so hot. I'm like butt naked. And I'm like just in the water, pushing, and they're coming so fast.
Mm.
And midwife was like, Mom, I'm crowning. Like, baby's right there. Mm. He's stuck. I had very like tight skin, very tight skin, and my mom does too. And even when I first met my midwife, she noticed that. She was like, your skin is very tingling, that's what she said.
Mm-hmm.
And like very like just tight. And my skin wasn't stretching. So she was like, this is what's gonna happen. You're either gonna tear really badly or we can do an episiotomy and we can get them out. And I was really against one. I was like, I want zero interventions on my birth plan.
Right.
Right, she's the option. She's like, either way, the baby's gonna get out, but it's really about your recovery. Like, you're gonna tear bad. And they say that episiotomies, you tear, like, you heal way, like, healing is worse, but for me, it wasn't that bad. And she gave me a couple minutes. I was like, nah, I'm gonna try, I'm gonna keep trying. But at a point, I was like, all right, let's just do it. Mm-hmm. So they're like, move you to the bed. Move me to the bed. As soon as they moved me to the bed, like a lamp was turned on. A nurse came in. A doctor came in. And he was out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Within like a few contractions. And these contractions are coming in fast. And within a few contractions, he was out.
Mm.
He came out. He was born at 5:56.
Wow.
Yeah. So my entire process at the birth center total was 3.5 hours. Because I got there at 2:30. Yeah, he was out. Wow.
That's very lucky. Because there are some moms who, you know.
So I feel very, like, if it was any longer, I don't know if I could have done it.
Mm-hmm.
But because it was so quick, like, I progressed so quickly.
Mm.
So I had a complete natural birth.
Mm.
As they
wow.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's awesome. And go ahead.
Oh, so like I see all these like pictures of moms like after birth and they're like beautiful and they're like, that's a lie. We actually have a YouTube video of a birth story and like in the video after like lines on my chest and I'm like, that's so ugly. Like I see because I'm like, my hair is all curly and I'm all sweaty.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know. When Aisley was born, I took a picture of Shirley holding her because I was like, you look unnaturally okay right now. Like you, like compared to what you just went through and I'm sure compared to what you're feeling, you look like way too normal. So I was like, oh, this is weird. So I took a picture. But yeah, it's
yeah, your mom's like that. Like I'm not one of them.
No, I mean, even if like you do look a certain way, like the experience is, you know, you just it wasn't an easy experience that you just went through, you know. Yeah.
But it wasn't easy, but it wasn't like undoable.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was totally doable. It definitely hurts. Like it I do hear women say that they had a pain-free birth, and I want to experience that for my second. Thinking about hiring an actual, like, Chris is great, but like having an actual doula, maybe my experience won't be different. I'm playing around with the idea of hiring a doula. They're hard to find in Korea, and they're like pricey. They cost more than the birth. So I have to think about it, but I'm considering it. Because I would really like to know what a pain-free birth is. But the crazy thing was, I would say my birth was very spiritual.
That's awesome.
I felt the Holy Spirit's presence, like, all throughout. Which is crazy. Like, Chris was praying over me the whole time and, like, singing. I was, like, singing in between songs, like, in between contractions and stuff. And at one point, I was, like, praying in tongue.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And like, as I'm praying, a thought that came to my mind was, this midwife probably thinks I'm psycho.
Like, oh no, this mom's losing her mind.
Yeah. So, but I think she might have seen it a couple of times, because she says she's been a midwife for a while. So, a lot, you know, like, I see a lot of Christian moms posting about their blog and about their birth, and they had it at this birth center as well. And a lot of them say that it was spiritual for them too. So,
yeah. So, I mean, giving birth without a C-section is already pretty rare in Korea, right? So how rare is it that you don't even get like epidural? Like, is that?
Oof, probably even more.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, because when you say pain-free birth, when you say pain-free birth, for a lot of people, it just means, you know, you just get an epidural, you know, like that's the way to do it.
Natural, and they say it's pain-free because they're able to do like hypnobirthing. So I need to look more into that. I looked into that, but I was like, I don't know about this. So I didn't get into it. But yeah, so I want to try that next time. It's like, I wasn't as graceful as I thought I was going to be. I thought I was going to be like, but I was like,
No, but I mean, I think the fact that you've created life, like you've given birth to another human being, you can't expect anything else, you know, like that's already.
That was going through my head was that, like, ever I can do. In one of the classes, they're like, you can do hard things for 60 seconds. 30, 60 seconds, you can do it. So I kept saying, I can do hard things. And each contraction is getting me closer to meeting Lion. Each contraction. And I learned that when it's so painful for the mom, right? But it's also so painful for the baby. Birth canal, right? So when you see a lot of vaginal birth babies, they're cone-shaped. Right. So even though their head is malleable, it's not Play-Doh, you know? It hurts.
Right.
The birth is just as painful, if not more, for the baby as well.
Yeah.
So I just kept thinking about that too, like how much pain that he must be in as well to trying to come out. So I like wanted to like, that's another reason I tried so hard to relax. I knew relaxing was going to get us faster there, like closer to him coming out,
right,
instead of tightening up and closing the birth canal.
And that's funny. I think I noticed at one point that babies who come out vaginally, they do, their head shape isn't as perfect, but like C-section babies, they actually have like perfect
round shaped heads. So like birth is hard for the baby too. We don't talk about that, you know. So like our babies are so strong and mighty too, just coming out.
So in terms of the recovery, because I know the postpartum recovery culture in Korea is very different, right? So how was that for you?
I didn't go to one.
Oh.
I didn't go. I know people thought I was crazy, but like, it sounds magical. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
It really does sound magical. But the thing that threw kind of threw me off is that you're separated from your baby a lot.
That's true. Yeah.
Focus on like the mother's well-being, but like that baby's been with me in my stomach for 10 months. And for me to separate it from birth, I just thought it was just like, I wasn't okay with that. And I wanted to breastfeed, and a lot of Korean moms don't breastfeed. Like I know a few moms, like in this mom group I'm in, who are all born around the same days. Like a couple of them asked their doctor to be prescribed medicine so they don't breastfeed at all. So they never breastfed. But which is their own personal choice. But this is also ingrained in their body, in their minds, that breastfeeding is hard.
Right.
So, and like, it's painful and you have no freedom. And it's just like a burden on the mom.
Yeah.
It's really ingrained that way. So a lot of moms just rather not. So that's why you see twin babies, they're really chunky. They are really chunky because they're all like formula fed. So I'm like a really odd mom here because I gave natural birth, I didn't do an epidural, and I'm still breastfeeding. And I'm doing baby-led weaning, which is also like I'm literally an alien to these Korean moms.
Right, because like Koreans, like, yeah, the idea of just like putting food in front of your baby for them to like, yeah, that's so foreign, yeah.
Like I'm not feeding my baby chook, like I'm, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm an alien. So I didn't go to one because I wasn't comfortable with the idea of being separated from the baby. And I heard that it actually could lead to more postpartum depression or anxiety, because when you're in these postpartum centers, that they only bring you the baby when the baby's hungry or if you want to see them, right? And then most of the time, the first 2 weeks of life, they're just sleeping. This whole time you think your baby's an angel. You're like, oh my gosh, like my baby's an angel. And then you go home and it's like,
rude awakening.
Yes. Moms that don't know what to do. And like it's yeah.
Oh, that is so true. Yeah. And because I mean, obviously I haven't given birth, so I wouldn't know, but the way that those postpartum centers are described, it sounds like such a ideal place for recovering people to go to, you know.
I would say if you're in a circumstance where you're not keeping the baby and you're putting the baby up for adoption, and you're just going home by yourself, go.
Right.
Or if you're in a situation where you're not going to have any help, like after birth, sure. And no, but I'm not like trying to like shame these moms of going, because I think it's magical and it's a culture, it's a norm to go.
Yeah.
Just like you, like sending your kids to school at a certain age, like you're supposed to go to Jodi 1 after birth. Like that's what it is like here. So there's no, you know, but I just wasn't, I was okay with not going.
Yeah.
The rest of the world doesn't go and they recover fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny, because it's like so similar to the conversation like Shirley and I have. Like Shirley straight up same thing. She said, even if I ever had the opportunity to do that post birth, yeah, I don't think I would want to be away from my kid for that long. Yeah. So,
Yeah. So I did go, like some the Korean moms, like one time I've been asked, how did you recover? And I'm like, what do you mean? Like you didn't go to one. How did you recover? I just did. Like wow. I just did. So it's just like, I'm an alien here.
Wow. Oh, that's so awesome. So now you have a beautiful baby boy, Lion. How old is he now?
He's turning one.
He's turning one soon, right? Oh, wow. Yeah. Time flies.
Like, planning. Oh, my gosh. The Dojenchi here is so like, oh, my gosh. Like, if I have a second baby, they're not getting a Dojenchi.
It's like another wedding. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Like, it's so stressful. I'm never having another one. No.
Yeah.
A second baby is getting one, like a small birthday at home.
Like, can you explain, because Lion is a pretty unique name, can you explain like the meaning behind it?
So Chris actually came up with it. We came up with the Korean name first. Korean name is Laun. Kind of just like English, whatever it did.
Yeah.
But it was fitting for us at the time, because even now, you know, I had a really tough pregnancy at the beginning. Like, I was bleeding all the time. And the thought of a miscarriage, and at certain points, maybe even a stillbirth, was a possibility for us, you know. And but at every ultrasound we got, he just bouncing along. It's so funny. His, you know, in Korea, they give babies a nickname.
Yeah, when they're like in the womb. Yeah.
And the idea was foreign to me. So it took us a while to figure one out, because I didn't know what to pick, you know? Because everyone does 사랑이, 축복이, you know? And I was like, that's just so, I don't know. Everyone uses it. Well, we came up with 탱탱이 for 10 weeks, which is like late, because usually people like do it as soon as they're pregnant.
Right.
Because when we saw the ultrasound, he was bouncing, like, he looked like a gummy bear, and he was bouncing around. Ding, doing, doing, like, ting, ting ball, you know? So tingy. And then every ultrasound, even though, like, I was physically so ill, he was just so strong. His heartbeat was great, and everything, he was measuring great. So we named him Lion, to be strong and mighty. And that's how we came up with that name.
That's awesome. So like it kind of, the name kind of embodies the journey of his birth. So that's great. That's awesome. Yeah. So because I know the last time we talked, you were talking about eventually coming back to the States. Yes. Do you think that'll happen anytime soon? Like, is it a possibility that your second child will be born here? Yeah.
No, not here. I don't think so, because many things. Number one, we are in the process of Chris's visa. We're waiting. We've already applied, but it takes about 18 to 24 months. So we applied in February. Still haven't heard anything back. So the earliest we'll get there is like next year. And my frozen embryos expire. There's a date due. I have to use them by the end of this year. So hopefully by the end of this year, I'll be pregnant again. So I'm actually in the process of weaning, breastfeeding from Lion, so I can do IVF again.
Gotcha. Cool. Oh, wow. Yeah, that whole visa process.
Yeah, but this time I don't have to go through the crucial, the excruciating pain of extraction or anything like that. Yeah. All I have to do is just put the frozen ones
in. Yeah.
There will be shots involved, so that's why you have to stop breastfeeding. Some women breastfeed throughout IVF, but there isn't enough studies that show if the synthetic hormones are transferred through the breast milk. So I don't want to risk it.
Yeah.
The world is already toxic enough. I don't want to give him more toxins.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to stop breastfeeding, which I'm really, really sad about, because I had no idea that I would be a breastfeeding mom. Shirley was so helpful. Like, literally, the beginning was rough, but she was so helpful. She helped me so much. Like, Shirley, I love you. Thank you. Like, you're the reason I did natural birth and I'm still breastfeeding.
I'm going to make sure she hears this. Yeah.
Awesome. I'm so thankful for her. Like, she was so helpful. So, yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, thank you for sharing your journey. Because, it's, it gives us a window into like the different cultures that are in the world, specifically Korea, like the whole, I didn't know a lot of that, so it was really eye-opening for me.
Definitely a learning experience for sure.
But it's also encouraging to hear that you kind of wanted to own your birth like experience, so you sought out things that weren't normal, but you kind of found a way, and you got to do it the way that you wanted to do it, which really does echo something that we mentioned on Selena's podcast, is that like kind of shifting the narrative of like this birth giving process is, instead of it's happening to you, it's now it's I'm doing it, kind of taking ownership and shifting it from like a purely traumatic experience to like a spiritual experience like you had. So thank you for sharing. I'm encouraged. I'm hoping that other potential mothers out there hear this and get encouraged as well.
I'm like such a big advocate for it now. Like I learned so much. Like, and I know if I can do it, like you can too. I can do it too. So I'm always like, it's all about education. Like you gotta teach yourself. You gotta learn. Go find out. Information is there. The internet is a beautiful thing sometimes. Like I learned so much on the internet. Instagram, so many accounts now. Like, and we're so blessed we have that. Korean moms do not have this. Like, Korean moms do not have this. Like, I feel bad for the Korean moms, really.
Maybe you
So,
should start like another account
not a
purely
lot of
for.
so, like, my spelling's like bad and it's like too much work. But maybe I should because I feel like this kind of information like needs to be out. Like they, like you would think that they would have this kind of information. It's 2023. Like they have internet too, but the content's different, you know? So.
Well, yeah, thanks, man. Thanks so much for doing this. This was great. And thank you. Is Lion still sleeping? Or
No,
is he out?
we're in a funky schedule right now. I don't even know what he's doing right now.
Okay, then. Well, we're gonna let you go so you can get back to playing with Lion and then.
Well, thank you so much for having me and letting me share my story in such sporadic way.
No, it was great. No, I was so happy to hear from you. And yeah, just being able to catch up has been great too. So yeah, thanks for sharing.
Hopefully, I'll see you soon in
Yeah.
America.
We have grass here, so I'm sure Lion will enjoy it. Well, so thank you, Cindy, and for all the listeners out there, thank you for tuning in. It's weird. I promise I'm not turning this podcast into a birthing podcast, but there's just so many interesting stories of these birth stories. So, but I think thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys next time.